Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
It's so, so good. Now, when it comes to talking about the words written in red, the words that Jesus said, when we were in this meeting, literally, Pastor Dave had his message pretty much already set. He knew he was going to preach that. Pastor Joseph already knew he was going to talk about this calling message. Pastor Timothy already had the love message. And I was sitting there, man. I'm like, boys, I got nothing. And you got to know, for me not to have words is like the desert not having sand. It's just like, and I got nothing. And he's like, and then we're going through this thing. And I'm like, boys, give me a night to pray. And I've gone away and prayed. And it was interesting because I love the fact when you open God's word and you spend time with him, he's always going to show you something new. Isn't that cool? That you may have read the Bible multiple times, but when you open it with a fresh heart, with a fresh hunger to understand who he is, he shows you something new. And I couldn't go past one particular passage of scripture, Matthew 5. For those who are familiar with the Bible and that passage of scripture, it is commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount. It's this scene where Jesus is, you know, he's actually about to speak to his disciples, but he ends up gathering this massive multitude because wherever Jesus went, a crowd gathered. I love the fact that I'm looking around here. We've got a crowd here that are coming hungry for Jesus. But if you're willing to just listen and lean in, he can touch you individually. And I love that. And this is how that chapter actually opens. Check out Matthew 5, verses 1 to 2. It'll be up on the screen. And seeing the multitudes. I love how it opens with that because when Pastor Joseph spoke 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago, he talked about how Jesus sees you. So even in this crowd right now, he sees you individually. I love that. Seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And verse 2, check this out. Oh, that's right. There we go. Next verse, here we go. It says, then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. And I love that. I can just imagine in that moment, every single person that was there was kind of hanging on the edge of their seat, waiting for Jesus to open his mouth. I don't know if any of you guys in this room have been to see Aladdin. A lot of people lately I've been speaking to, and I'm getting a bit jealous, I haven't seen it yet. And I said, please don't ruin it for me. Have you ever met those people that ruin the movie even before you see it? It's like I'm here, whole Hayden going on the room right now. But the funny thing is every single time someone talks about Aladdin, the scene they always refer to is the magic carpet scene. And the funny thing is my mum went and watched it the other day, and I said, and I got to speak to her, and I said, I go, what was the scene like? She goes, because I knew that was coming, I was on the edge of my seat. Because I knew it was there, I was just waiting for that to break out. I was waiting for them to bring on that scene. And I'm telling you, friends, if you would do that today, if you would lean in a little bit, just on the edge of your seat, yeah, in expectation and in hunger for what God's going to do here today, I'm telling you, you will leave a completely different person. Yeah, right. Does anyone want to leave here a little bit different? Yeah. Maybe a little bit changing their mindset. Maybe a little bit changing their external condition, in the internal condition of their heart. Because God wants to do that for you today. And if you'd be willing to engage, he wants to take you down that road. But as this crowd leads into Jesus, he unpacks some serious truths. And he talks about this in the first opening verses. He talks about how to live a blessed life in what's commonly known as the Beatitudes. He then talks about how believers are called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And then he talks about how he didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And the interesting part, almost as if he pulls the handbrake as he enters into verse 21, and there's almost this change in direction, this shift. And as he unpacks these verses and changes the conversation, I just want to encourage you right now, right up front, to buckle in, because this ride is about to get a bit bumpy. Come on, would you pray with me? Father, in Jesus' name, help this brother out. Amen. Come on, I need him, man. I need him. I can't do it on my own. I ain't that good. I ain't that talented. All right, so in the 21st century, I've come to learn that we are constantly bombarded daily, if not minutely, hourly, with information from all over the place. In the age we live in now, I caught up with a friend yesterday who works at The Age in the IT department, and he was saying that the social media is the most common way we receive the news these days. How brilliant is it? And I think this is kind of awesome of Facebook and stuff, and obviously it's changing the way in which we communicate, but that Facebook don't actually generate the content. People just upload it and put it on there, and all of a sudden we get our news from here. But we are so inundated with information. And I wrote a few things down. There's so many voices we can listen to. There are so many articles we can read. There are so many posts we can view. And there are so many opinions we can be persuaded by. And the question I have for us today, who do we listen to? Who do we believe in an era and a time where there are so many opinions, so many thoughts, so many theories? How do we almost decipher these things to actually come to a conclusion for our own lives? I heard a funny statement or a phrase or a quote about armpits just recently. About opinions recently, and it said this. That's very random, but you can understand the quote in a moment. And he said this. A friend of mine said like this. He goes, "You know what? Opinions are like armpits." And he says, "Everyone has them, and they often stink." And I thought, in a time where that is, we're just inundated with public opinion. It's very, very hard. It's almost deafening. That how do I actually come to a conclusion for myself in a time such as this? But I love this because in Matthew 5, we see Jesus challenge public opinion. We see Jesus coming alongside these people and saying, "Hey, I know it's meant to be like this, but I'm saying it's like this." And he uses this amazing literary style known as an antithesis. Now, I know that makes me sound really, really intelligent. And this is a good definition of it. An antithesis is simply this. An antithesis is used as a literary style to put two contrasting ideas together. This emphasizes the difference between the two ideas, and the word can literally be translated as opposite. And the funny thing is, as I was doing my study, as I was putting this message together, I just thought, I live there sometimes. Often the way I think, often the way I feel, often the way I act is in total contrast to what the word of God says. And I thought, hey, what would it look like if we made an exchange here this morning? We were willing to admit, maybe not openly, but to ourselves that, hey, some of the stuff I've been doing, some of the stuff I've been saying, some of the stuff I've been thinking, some of the stuff I've been carrying is not serving me anymore. It's actually enslaving me. And we would be willing to make an exchange for our labels for his life, for our ways for his word. If you agree with me, say amen. Come on, come on. And that's where I want to head down that road today. And if you look at Matthew 5, and I'd encourage you to take do a study of it in your own time. Just open it up. It's only 48 verses of scripture. And when you read it, it's almost like the UFC fight of scripture. For those who are familiar with UFC, there's literally no hold bars. You can kind of do whatever you want in a UFC fight. And Jesus literally doesn't hold back. Check this out. Look at some of the topics that he addresses. He unpacks hard-hitting topics such as anger, adultery, divorce, revenge, love your enemies. Do any of these sound like 21st century problems? Would you agree? Yet it was written over 2,000 years ago, and he's addressing these problems to an audience that is just hungry to hear what he has to say. But this is the key, and this is where, with this whole antithesis style that you've got to catch, he actually uses a very interesting corner phrase as he opens and unpacks each topic. He uses these words: "You have heard that it was said." In other words, he's saying, you've already heard the public opinion on this subject. You've already got a preconceived idea on this issue. You've potentially made up your mind about this topic. In other words, you've had a bunch of experiences. You've heard a lot of information. You've got a bit of a download on what you think this subject's all about. But I love how he rebuttals that statement. He says these three powerful words, and this is basically the whole premise of my message today. He says this: "But I say." I know you've heard it said. I know the politicians are saying that. I know social media is saying this. I know according to climate change, the world's about to end in 3 minutes and all that sort of stuff. He goes, "But I say." So I'm wondering if you would be willing to listen, not with your husband or wife's ears, not with someone else's ears, but with your own ears today to hear what Jesus has to say. Because if you would receive what he has to say, it could potentially change where you're at.
Amen.
Are you with me? And I love this because when Jesus says those words, this is what he's saying. I'm about to flip the script. I'm about to challenge the status quo. I'm about to show you a new way to live. Let me give you an example. I'll show you how he says this in Matthew 5, 38 to 39, where he's actually talking about how to live differently when it comes to revenge. He says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." Check out the next verse. "But I tell you," in other words, "but I say, to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also." I don't know about you, when I read that stuff, I'm like, Jesus, you ain't living in the 21st century. For real? Because see, hey, when I'm driving and someone cuts me off in traffic, I don't want to greet them with a holy kiss. I want to greet them with a holy fist. You get what I'm saying? It's challenging to live as a Christian in the 21st century. It can be challenging. Because Jesus sets the platform and he sets the tone saying, hey, I know you've heard it said, but now I'm calling you to a different way of life. I know that you've got a preconceived idea, but now I'm asking you to change your thinking. And it's like, God, but it's hard. It's challenging. And I'm friends, if someone told you that being a Christian was easy, they were lying to you. Yeah. I'm telling you, is it the best decision ever? And is it awesome to follow Jesus? 110% because he changes your eternity.
Yeah.
But it can be challenging. That's why it's important to be part of a church, to be in a life group with people who are doing the journey with you.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Are you with me? Turn to your neighbor and say, he must be talking to you. I mean, this is challenging. I absolutely love it. And I want to talk about, I'm going to talk a little bit about labels in a moment. And you're going to see how that, when I'm talking about God making that exchange, I honestly believe he's got better things for you. And maybe you've walked in here today and you're carrying something that, you know what, God said, you don't have to carry that anymore. You know, the Bible says, cast your burdens unto me, unto him, because he cares for you. And I'm wondering if we would do that today. A little bit of a divine exchange. And I'm not actually going to unpack that whole passage of Matthew 5. I'm actually going to use it as a platform to actually present an old truth in a fresh way. And I'm believing as it unfolds, you're going to see something different in your world today. These are the things I believe that God wants to exchange with you today. Check these out. I believe he wants to exchange your wounds, those battle scars you've been carrying, all those hurts, all that pain. And sometimes you go to bed at night crying in the fetal position because no one knows your problems. He wants to exchange your wounds for his word.
Yeah, wow.
He wants to change your thoughts, make an exchange your thoughts for his truth. Wow. You know, often our thinking, you know, it's so funny. I love it in when God is speaking through Isaiah, he says this amazing passage that we often hear in church life. He says that he goes, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways, says the Lord. And we can look at that like almost like an insult, like, God, I get it. I'm not like you because I don't think or act the way you do. And God says, hey, well, hold up a minute. That's not an insult, it's an invitation. I'm extending my hand to you to come up to my level and say, I want your thoughts to become my thoughts. I want your ways to become my ways. And if you were to receive that today, everything could change one day at a time. And I believe he wants to exchange your labels for his life. Are you encouraged? This is what he wants to do here today. And I love the fact that when I see that, I'm like, God, you want to do this for me? And he wants to do it for you. Some of you may be familiar, and it's kind of like almost brutal and inhumane, depending on which way you look at it. But there are multiple, people around the world that have cattle all throughout the world. And what's often a way that an owner will use to identify their cattle is what's called cattle branding. And what they actually do, and it's almost, I can imagine how painful this would be. They get a hot iron rod with the label or logo of that owner or that business, and they heat it up, and they actually brand the cattle so they could know that it's theirs and that they are using it to identify. And as I was prepping this message and thought about that illustration, I can imagine that it was painful, but I'm just wondering how many of us are carrying labels that we've been branded by.
Wow.
Maybe it was the offense that happened. Maybe it was the hurt. Maybe it was the divorce. Maybe it was the bankruptcy. Well, I don't know where you're at tonight. You insert the blank. But how many labels are you carrying on over your life that God would say, I didn't brand you like that. That's not my identity over your life. I remember when I had the privilege of being youth pastor here a few years back, and I was teaching the youth and I was showing them an illustration about the need to guard your heart. And I had a clear glass of water on stage, and I had a little bit of food dye. And I said, that's what your heart is supposed to look like. Pure, clean, all ready to go. And I go, but what happens in our lives? Someone says a bad word to us. Someone offends us. Someone cheats us, whatever it is. And I got a little bit of that food dye and dripped it into the water. And then I go, see, initially, it ain't that bad because it's just tainted the water. I go, but because of our humanity, the need to almost, you know, not do what Jesus said, is we get the spoon of our of gossip, we get the spoon of our hurt, and we start to stir that glass. And all of a sudden, that little drop that tainted that water has now infected the whole glass. Now your whole heart has been infected by that offense. And the funny thing is we think we can hide it in our heart. But what we don't realize is that last time I checked, please medical trained people in the room, correct me if I'm wrong, your heart is responsible for pumping blood to every part of your body. So now when you walk into a room, you see with the eyes of offense, you hear with the ears of offense, you walk in the feet of offense, you speak with the mouth of offense. If you think you can hide it, you're kidding yourself. Whatever you're carrying, Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah, wow.
So friends, I wanted to give us a bit of a heart check today. What are the labels that we've put on ourselves that Jesus himself wouldn't give us? Now you may think, oh, look, Derek, you look like a confident, You look, you've now moved out to the eastern suburbs. By the way, the east is amazing. I love it out there. I told you last time, literally 20% more energy because of the trees. The oxygen just gives me all its energy. But legit is, the funny thing is what often you don't see is that, you know, one of the favorite things I love to do when I catch up with people, I'm doing a coffee, whatever it is, I just love to ask them about their story. Funny thing is everyone's got a story, right? And I love to hear about where they've come from. And what you probably don't know about me is that when I grew up in the western suburbs of Melbourne, Deer Park, man. You can't get any deep west than that, man. Get out. And I'm telling you, man, it was interesting, an interesting upbringing. But what you don't know about me is that I grew up as the fat kid. I was about this high in grade six, but about this wide, weighing 90 kilos in grade six. That's a big deal. And I remember going through this thing, and I was active, but I just love food. How many people love food? I see you people Instagramming it all the time. And I just love food. And it was this label that I carried with me for a long time, but to the point where in like sort of year eight, I got to the point where I had to be rushed to hospital because I had to get my appendix out. And then, you know, that happened. And then the doctor kind of used real extreme tactics. And he goes, bro, if you don't lose weight, you're dead in a year. Obviously that was real extreme, but believe me, it got my butt into gear. And I just started watching what I eat. I started exercising. And now this is what you see. No, but seriously, I had this, what you don't know is that the backdrop to that is that from about the age of kind of like around about 16 to kind of like 26, 27, I actually adopted a mold eating disorder. And I'm telling you, friends, it actually was a label that I actually started to carry. I'm telling you, you might be in this room, and whether you've got anorexia, bulimia, please, you're in a safe place and God's got grace for you. Or maybe it's the other one. Maybe for me, what it was for me, this is how it was for me, is that I literally got to a place where I was a closet eater. I would go, like, and I would, at the time, I was even a lecturer in health and fitness. Talk about how ironic that is. And I would be teaching, but then on the way home, I would stop at a Survey because it was accessible, and I'd get chips and chocolate and eat it on the way home. You know why? Because nobody could see me. And friends, the funny thing is, maybe no one in this room knows what you're going through, knows what your vice is, but he does. That's the exchange I'm talking about.
Yeah, wow.
That's what I'm talking about today. And it's funny, and I'm in this space, and I get home, and I distinctly remember the voice of God. I was recently, just literally at that season, just got saved. I come in, unlock my door, step into my house, and God almost just arrests my heart, and he says, my son, what are you doing to yourself? He goes, you're allowing yourself to be filled by food, but you're supposed to be filled by me. And friends, I'm telling you, that was one wake-up call that shifted the label of my eating disorder. But he led me to the scripture, and he scriptures like this. Check this out in 1 Corinthians 10, 31. I love scriptures like this. So whether you eat or drink, that was my issue. That was my label. It was the food that was identifying with. That was the food that was filling me. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So now, in other words, my food, I could actually use it as a platform, not a prison. It could be something that I could use just to fuel me before the things that God wants me to do. And you know what? I said this in the first service, and I want to encourage people in this room about this truth. You know why? You know why I'm so glad that God arrested that? Because whether it's that, whether it's cigarettes, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, and if you're doing any of those things in this room, you're in a place of grace. God bless you. We love you. But the funny thing is, I've got one body. So do you. I don't want to check out before the call. I don't want my body to expire before the call does. He's got a big plan for your life, for my life. And have a guess what? You only get one body to do it with. So treat your body kind. Treat it well. I'm not asking you to become a fitness freak, but just do stuff that you enjoy. Is this helping anyone?
Yeah.
Amen. Can we give him some praise in this place? Come on. Let me tell you what I've learned about labels. If they don't serve you, they have the potential to enslave you.
Wow.
You name the label. And the funny thing is, we think that the labels are always bad. We always think it's the drug addict. We always think it's the alcoholic. We always think it's, you know, it's the adulterer, whatever. We always wear those labels. But reality is, what about the person who works too much? The funny thing is, in the 21st century, we label that as pride. That's almost like a badge of honor. Oh man, oh, how you doing, bro? Flat out, man. I'm busy, bro. Dude, I'm changing the world here. I'm changing the world. Yet in the meantime, your wife never sees you and your kids and they don't know who you are. Do you hear that? It's easy to go to the negative because we put those labels on, but it's like, what about the labels that cause us to think, hey, wait a minute, where have we left God out in our label? Because he wants to make that exchange with you today. I'm gonna be real practical. Here are some of the labels that I believe we tend to wear. Check this out. What about this label? What about this? The label of rejection. You don't understand what I've done. The mom that never loved me, the father that was never there, the relationship after relationship that just was broken and hurt. And we carry this label. And the funny thing is, we think no one else can see it. The reality is, it might be a spiritual thing, but have a guess what? You're carrying it in your heart. And it will eventually come out of your life. You know why the Bible says to guard your heart above all else? Because the second part of that scripture says, out of it flows the issues of life.
Yeah.
So maybe you're wearing the label of rejection. This is what I believe God wants to do today. He wants to exchange your label and let you know that you're accepted.
Amen.
Yeah. Written in red, that you're accepted. Yeah. Come on, are you excited about that?
Yeah.
He wants to make that exchange. And you know, it can be easy. It could have been easy for me just to leave that on and actually just put it over the top. But biblically, that's incorrect. Because the blood of Jesus does not just cover your sin. It wipes it away.
Amen.
And the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, he has removed your sin and remembers it no more. The exchange. I love it. Check out how powerful this is. I love this. Check out what he says about that, about your acceptance in Romans 15 verse 7. It'll be up on the screen for you. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. Friends, you're accepted. I know society might reject you. I know your parents may have rejected you. I know that spouse or that relationship or that employer may have rejected you, but God doesn't.
Yeah.
Friend, in his eyes, you are so precious. The Bible says that he knows every hair on your head. He knew you before you were knit in your mother's womb. This is how much he cares about you. And he wants you to know today that you're accepted. Amen?
Amen.
Maybe you're here today and you're wearing this label. It's a label of addiction. Maybe your eyes are watching things that you shouldn't be watching. Maybe you're taking things that you shouldn't be taking. Once again, maybe I said like about work before. Maybe you're working way too many hours and you don't get to see any of your loved ones. What are you addicted to? The thing that would place. I said a few weeks ago, and I spoke to a couple in the early service when I spoke about suits. They said to me, oh, I'm addicted to suits now, just from one message. That's how powerful this platform is, by the way. From one message, they're addicted. But what are you addicted to? Because I'm telling you, friends, God wants to exchange your label of addiction. And he wants to replace it with his freedom.
That's right.
Yeah. Come on. It's so powerful because it's available. It's available. So often we sit so reserved, so condemned and so confided by our labels that we're not willing to make the exchange. You know why? Because sometimes it requires work. It actually requires us not being in certain places, not hanging out with certain people, not engaging with certain material. When God says, hey, the freedom that's available in me is free.
Yeah.
It's available to you. Check out what John 8, 36 says about this. I love this. I love about this freedom. So if the Son, say this, we can't, let's say this all together. Come on, 1, 2, 3. So if the Son makes you free, then you are unquestionably free. I love that. I looked it up in multiple translations, and when I saw it in the Amplified, man, it just jumped out at me, psychic me in the head. I'm like, unquestionably. I don't know about you, I said that before. How do we decipher all these public opinions? And Jesus says, you're unquestionably free in me.
Yeah.
There's no reason to doubt, there's no reason to question, but in him, you are free. Is that good news for anybody in this place?
Yeah.
What about this label? I love this label. It's a very interesting one because as a European, I definitely see the kind of more mature generation do this a lot. What about the label of worry? And you wear it as a label, like a badge of honor. I'm half Maltese. My nana, that's where she lives. That's her address. Seriously, the amount of times I'd go there, oh, Derek, do you know what the key comment is I always see out of my grandparents? Have you seen a current affair? Because apparently current affairs is the source of all news. And it's like, you better lock your house. You better fill up petrol. There's always this exchange going on because they're so consumed by worry. And friends, I'm not belittling what you're going through, but I'm telling you, worry is an abuse of your God-given imagination.
That's true.
He's given you this imagination, the Bible says, to do exceedingly abundantly above, and yet we get stuck in worry. And I'm not saying don't be concerned, don't be engaged in the issue, but worry is not going to serve you, it's going to enslave you.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, this is the exchange he wants to make. He wants to exchange your worry. Can anyone guess? With his peace. peace. I love that in the middle of a storm, in the middle of this journey that Jesus said they were going to go to the other side, he literally gets up in a boat that's absolutely being demolished by the winds and the waves, and he says, peace, be still. Yeah. Check out what Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7 says. I love this. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. I love this. Check this next verse out. This is what I love. Check this out about the peace. Then you will experience God's what? God's what? His peace. It's not your peace. It's the exchange he wants to make. It's his peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Is this encouraging anyone? It's so good. You know, when I was preparing this message, I thought of a song that that Hillsong put together a few years ago, and it was actually an album called The Beautiful Exchange. And I just honestly, I'm telling you today, friends, I'm really praying and believing that at the end of this service, we would make a beautiful exchange with him. Yeah. The labels that we've been carrying for the truth that he wants to give us. Yeah. And this is a big one. Maybe you've been wearing this label, guilt and shame. Maybe it's the things you've done. Maybe the things you said. Maybe the relationship that you didn't follow through in. Maybe it's the lie you said to your kids. Whatever it is in your world, you're covered in guilt and shame, and it's crippling you. Maybe it's the opportunity that you missed out on. Maybe it's the parent that wasn't there. Maybe it was a job opportunity that just fell through. What are you feeling shame and guilt over? Friends, I honestly believe he wants to exchange your shame and guilt for his grace. His grace. His grace. And you know, the Bible says that his grace is sufficient. I love it. Check this out. I love what he says in the next verse we got here in 2 Corinthians. And it's so funny because in light of what we just saw, check out how this scripture, I'm going to bring it to life for you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a what? Come on, say it like you actually mean it. He's a what? He's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things, I want you to catch that, all things have become new. Friends, I'm going to tell you, you know what? When the devil comes knocking on my door, and by the way, he'll do it to you as well, in the corners of your mind. I'll give you an example to make it real for you. I remember one day I was with my wife. We were going to a shopping mall, and I was traveling up an escalator, and she goes, "Hun," she goes, "I forgot my wallet." And I said, "No worries, babe, I'll duck back to the car." And you got to understand, I had a BC life, right? So I had a life that before Christ, before I met him, I had this string of life that I had with him. And I'm going to be honest with you. I slept with different girls. I did things I'm not proud of, but you know what? I'm thankful for the experiences because they've led me to know that he's forgiven me for all of it. Does that make sense? Yeah. So I'm not going to try to hide my past, but I'm not going to glorify it either. And the funny thing is, like, I was going down the escalator back to my car, and I kid you not, guys, there was not a scent in the air. There wasn't a song playing. There wasn't anything to remind me of this previous partner that I had years and years before I met Ange. But all of a sudden, he drops this thought in my head. The enemy goes, "Hey, remember that girl you slept with? Remember how you did that? Remember how dirty you are?" Can anyone relate to those thoughts? He's trying to take you back. And I love the fact that you're quiet because I know I'm not the only one who's experienced this. And it's like, hey, you know what? I know the person you are. And then you know what I literally do? And I told this to the interns very recently. I literally stood there, super confident, not in who I am, in who he is. Yeah. And I stood there and I'm like, and I pretend the devil was in front of me. And I said, "Bro, you're talking to me." Come on. Legit. I'm like, "You're talking to me." And it's like, I'm looking over my shoulders and I said, "Because I don't know the person you're talking about. You know why I don't know him? Because he died in that water." He laid down that old life, that person that was carrying all that. He laid down in the waters of baptism. You want to know why baptism is so powerful? It is a physical presentation of the fact that, Jesus, I'm dying to my old ways. I'm dying to my old life. I'm dying to the old Derek, the old you insert your name. And I'm rising up to new life in you.
Yeah.
It's so powerful. When you realize that you're a new creation, you realize that guilt, you realize that shame has no power over you. He'll try to keep you there. He'll try to make that your address. But when you realize that the grace of God is free and available for you, it changes everything. Can we give him some praise in this place? Come on. Remember I said the road was about to get a bit bumpy. We might take a few turns. This is the turn. So hold on to your seat. This is the thing that I love. As I was putting this message together, I just had this thought. I could go down this road, unpack that passage. But Jesus gave me a very powerful statement. You're going to see it in scripture in a moment. Is you fast forward a few chapters into Matthew 16, and Jesus is having this amazing dialogue with his disciples, and he's actually taking a poll on public opinion. And he says to the disciples, he turns around to them, he says, hey, who do people say that I am? And I love it, the disciples straight away jump in and says, hey, some people say you're John the Baptist. Some people say you're Elijah. Some people say you're Jeremiah, or just one of the other prophets. And then I love how Jesus, in this literary style, flips the script, looks at his disciples and says, but who do you say that I am? I know what everyone else is saying. I know what the public opinion, I know Facebook has put up all these different posts about me. I go, but what do you say? Who do you say that I am? And friends, in preparation for today, I felt God give me one powerful statement that this is the thing that you would Facebook, the thing you would Instagram, the thing you would tweet. This is the thing that I just thought, wow, in a series that is all about the words of Jesus and how they impact our life. Friends, you've got to catch this statement. It'll be up on the screen for you. Your ability to believe what Jesus said is determined by who you say he is. I'm gonna read that for you one more time so you can catch it. Your ability to believe what Jesus said is determined by who you say he is. Would any of you take advice from a fat personal trainer? I'm being real. Would anyone take advice from a fat? No, why? Because you know they know their stuff, but they're not living it themselves. Do you get what I'm saying? And Jesus is saying, I know what you've heard said, I know what's going on in the environment, I know what's happening out in the public, but I need you to get a personal revelation of who I am. I need you to know, because anything that I'm about to say won't carry weight in your life if you don't actually attach yourself to who I am. Does this make sense? Yeah. Is everyone catching this? It's you gotta know who he is, or else you won't believe what he said. And I wanna ask you today, who do you say that he is?
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.